See, it is finished. Come on, shout, it is finished. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you. We have come to celebrate you, to honor you, to receive from you. And I pray that heaven's windows would be open today over the lives of your people, that we would receive truth and revelation, that you would touch the heart and the lives of your people today. Father God, anything that would be a hindrance, we command it by the authority of your word. We command it to bow its knee. We bind it and hinder it from operating as a device against the people of God. And Lord, I thank you that we will not be distracted, but we have come to focus on you. We will not be distracted by the problems of the day, the agenda of our lives, or the business, or the lack of. We thank you, Father God. We have come to stand before your presence. And Lord, I thank you that we can, according to your word, boldly enter the throne room of grace because of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the right. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the ability to enter into the presence of the Most High God. We thank you, Father God, that what separates us from the world, it's not the things, it's your presence, it's your anointing in our life. I thank you, Father God, in this day and hour, that we, your people, we are honored to be your people. We are honored for you to be our God. We love you, Father God. We worship you today. And I thank you, Father God, in this day and hour, we will not be silent. We will not be quiet. We will not hide our light, but we choose to put it in a position on the platform of life that it can be displayed to those around us. I thank you, Father God, your people are rising up in the light of your truth, in the power of your spirit, in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I thank you, Father God, that they are beginning to shine. They're beginning to shine in the darkness of life. Shine in the darkness of problems. Shine in the darkness of the world that they live in. And I thank you, Father God, that you are stirring us within us to follow the path, to follow the run the race that you have set before us. We have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, and we will not buckle, we will not bow to the enemy's pressure. We follow your path, Jesus. We look to you, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who endured the cross, who endured opposition, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him. Open our eyes, Father God. Open the eyes of your people. Let them see the joy. Let them see the joy today. Let them see the joy of eternity. Let them see the joy of eternity. Eternity is near. Eternity is near. Eternity is near. Eternity is near. Heaven is calling. Let them see the joy, Father God. Let them sense the joy that we're coming closer and closer. Come now, Lord Jesus. Come now, the Spirit of the bride says. Come now, Lord Jesus. For every one of us who've played church or routines, we bow our knee to you, Father God. You are the creator of heaven and earth. You are the God, the King of kings, the majesty. We thank you for eternity is near. Strengthen our feet. Strengthen us. For by your spirit, not by might, nor by power, but by your spirit, you are the strength. You are the one we worship. You are the one. Just take a moment, lift your hands before the Lord. I feel like we're in the presence of God right now. Just right where you're at home, in a car, in the building, begin to just give God thanks. Thank you, Father God. You have not left your people. You've called us to rise and to shine. We thank you for healing. We thank you for provision. We join our faith together, Father God. And your word says, whatever we agree together, touch anything, it shall be done. And Father, we thank you that the assignment of COVID-19 has to be canceled in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God. We decree, declare, sickness must bow its knee. COVID-19, you must be destroyed right now. You are destroyed. It is finished. It's over. Lack, we curse and bind you over this nation. We speak back the prosperity of God. We speak back into our nation the healing power of God. We speak back into our people your life like never before. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. We trust you, Lord. We give you praise. And everybody said, amen and amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you would. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. I'm going to read out the New Living Translation, the beginning of verse 28 and also the last part of 29. Jesus knew, and this is when Jesus was on the cross, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And he said, "It is finished." Say, "It is finished."
It is finished.
Say, "It is finished."
It is finished.
Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. "It is finished." That phrasing, the word in the Greek, is from the word tetelestia. Is that pronounced right? I have no idea, and you don't either. It comes from the word of teleo, which means to complete or to accomplish. You could say it this way. It means I did exactly what I set out to do. When Jesus was on the cross, he basically said, "I set out to do exactly what I was sent to do. I fulfilled the will of the Father." Some people will read that, or you can read it, I guess, in different ways. Some people read that it was all done. I read it that the price was paid, because I know the ministry of Jesus had not ceased, because later we see him outside of the tomb and he says, "Don't touch me, because I still have not presented myself to the Father and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat." Because what they did in the Old Testament symbolically represented what was happening in the throne room of God, that there is a mercy seat before God that is today sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. Not the blood of goats and lambs that was spotless, but by the precious Lamb of God, the Jesus who was sinless, spotless, sinless, and his blood, his sacrifice, paid the price to not cover our sins as in the Old Testament, but to remove our sins in the New Testament. That's something we can all shout about, because if you are born in the natural flesh, you have lived in sin. You have been in sin, because we are all born into sin. It's a natural thing. But because of Jesus, we can all be forgiven and sins removed. Someone give God praise for that. Come on, give him praise. The price has been paid. The price has been paid. I've heard people on TV, people that you might like and respect, and say, "There must be multiple ways to get to God. God wouldn't do just one way. That makes no sense." And it doesn't make sense to the natural man. But the truth be told, nobody else could. Because to pay the price, you had to be sinless. If you broke, the Bible says, one part of any of the law, then you were guilty of the whole law. It wasn't, "Well, I've sinned, but it's little sin, so I'm a good person." Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. "For all have sinned," the Bible says. I didn't say it, the Bible says it. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I like to think of it this way. If I was at an expensive restaurant and they didn't have the prices on the menu and I didn't pay attention and I ordered a lot of food and I enjoyed the food, and when the price or the bill came due, I looked at it and thought, "Oh my goodness, I don't have cash for that. I don't have credit card for that. I don't have anything to pay that price." Have you ever been in a situation you think, "How am I going to pay for this?" And you're too deep to walk out and you've already eaten the meal, and you might try to dine and dash, as we might say back years ago. You might say, "Where's the restroom?" And you go to the left instead of the right, and out the door you go. You have to repent, by the way. But you sit there at the table of life wondering, "How am I going to pay for all this stuff that I've eaten?" Amen. And somebody walks in and says, "I noticed you've been here for a while. What's the problem?" "I got this bill, and I can't pay it." And they said, "Don't worry, it's on me today," and takes it. Would you sit there and say, "I've been waiting 3 hours, but you know what? I don't want you to pay for it, because there must be somebody else out there that can pay this bill." No, you wouldn't. You would say, "Thank you very much." See, sin is really a debt. And your actions could never be good enough to pay the price of the debt. That's what we have to realize. It's just not a sin, it's the price of sin. But Jesus came and paid that price. That's where redemption comes from. To redeem means to buy back. It's literally a financial transaction. Jesus said, the cost, the price of your sin, I'm going to take it. He who was not sin, who was sinless, who had no sin, became sin. He took the price of sin upon himself and said, I'm going to pay for your sin. All we have to do is to believe and receive it. For by grace through faith, we're saved. And not of works, lest any man should boast, the Bible tells us. And yet many people today strive and struggle only to try to earn the what God has for them, earn salvation, try to be a better person to qualify, and you can't qualify for the goodness of God. You receive it. Where do works come from? Works come from a flow of the relationship. I'm saved because of the love of God, I can love. Because of the mercy of God, I can show mercy. You don't do something to get it, you do it because you have it. Jesus said, back to this, it is finished. It's complete. It's accomplished. I believe he was saying the price has been paid. If you go to the text again, or to the original language, it not only means that, but the specific word used here is in perfect tense in the Greek, which literally means this, that it was finished in the past, it is still finished in the present, and it remains finished in the future. It's always in what they call a perfect tense. For God deals with you just not based on where you were going, but where you're at. He said, I'm the great I am. It is finished. Somebody say, it is finished.
It is finished.
So when Jesus said, it is finished, what is he talking about? The price of sin. What's the result of sin? So the Bible tells us under the Deuteronomy that the curse of sin brought separation from God. Which means what? You can't know God without Jesus. You can try to know about God, but without him, you can't know him. That's what we call it, have a relationship over religion. Some people are trying to be a better person, doing all the things they should and not do the things they shouldn't in an effort to try to fit the mold. But it's not fitting the mold. It's dying to yourself and being resurrected in a new life, being born again. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you for the second amen. It's being born again, getting saved. Because without the blood of Jesus, you had separation. Under the curse, you were separated from God's presence, separated from knowing him, separated from experiencing him, separated from having a relationship with him. But because of the blood of Jesus, we now can have a real relationship with Jesus. And I can't speak for you. I can only speak for myself. I am so thankful that today I can experience the presence of God in my life in a real way, beyond a service, beyond an emotion. Not only was it the separation from God, but the Bible tells us, Deuteronomy 28:29, that under the curse, you were separate from God, but also you were under the curse of sickness. Sickness is under the curse, which is connected to sin. Which helps me to see that, wait a minute, if that's true, then when Jesus died on the cross, then shouldn't there be a solution for sickness? And 1 Peter 2:24 tells us that by whose stripes, his stripes, you were healed. He paid the price on Calvary so that you could come into this thing called a covenant by the blood of Jesus. And under the covenant, you can know him. Under the covenant, you have a right for healing. Now, if you're struggling with a pain or a symptom or problem, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. Because we receive everything, Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 11, verse 33, we receive everything through faith and patience. Which means I have to get the revelation from the Word of God that, wait a minute, when he said it's finished, sickness does not have the upper hand. When he said it is finished, poverty does not have the upper hand. Poverty might be in the ring of your life fighting you. Sickness might be in the ring of your life fighting you. Sin might be in the ring of your life fighting you and you're being tempted. But I'm telling you that they come when you understand your covenant. I'm not saying you don't experience them. I'm not saying that you won't have to deal with them. But I'm saying when you understand who you are in Christ, that they have the disadvantage, not you. The devil will tell you when he attacks you that you're the weakest link. When the devil attacks you, he'll tell you that you're the one that's on the weakest ground. He'll tell you you're the one at the disadvantage and he's the one at advantage. But I'm here to tell you the truth of the word is he is the one that's at a disadvantage. If you become aware of who you are in Christ, For the prodigal son was awakened and came to himself. When you come to the reality, wait a minute, I'm not here being, I don't need to be passive. I don't need to be weak. I don't need to be a victim. I don't need to just let whatever come. I have a choice. I have a choice. Perfect tense, past, present, and future. Because the story did not stop at the cross. Paul says it this way, if it stopped at the cross, then all of our lives are miserable. But we know the story, that they took his body down from the cross. They put it in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, he rose again. Think about that. He called out his own death, how it was going to happen, and his own resurrection. Even if you're watching online or listening, listen, you might be an atheist today. But anybody who can call out their own death before it happens, how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, and the third day they're coming back to life and it happened, you need to at least listen to what they're saying. For he already told them, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. He went into hell, not the lake of fire, but into hell. Hell's got different meanings based on the context. And he went into hell, which is the dominion of the damned. He went into the place where the devil's kingdom, central location. And for the first time the devil saw something he had never seen before. Because everybody who had gone into hell before that had gone into hell out of rebellion to the will of the Father. They were in sin. But for the first time when Jesus walked in, he saw somebody who had walked through the gates of hell and was standing in hell out of obedience to the will of the Father. And he came out, the Bible says, with the keys of death, hell, and the grave, made show of him openly. One translation means he paraded the devil around in front of the demons and everyone, letting them know that he is the one in charge. He's the one with all power. Did he say when he came out and was talking after the resurrection, didn't he tell the disciples, listen, all power, which is authority, all power, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. The devil had no more authority. So why does the devil do stuff? Because people don't exercise authority that God's given them. Matthew 18:18, Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. I give you authority. When we sit back and do nothing, when good people do nothing, bad people can flourish. When the light switches off, darkness can increase. That's why it's important for you to be the light. You don't have to be somebody else's light. You don't have to match anybody else's light. But God's called you to be the light that he's called you to be in this phase in the journey of your life that you're called to run. Run the race, Hebrews 12, that he set before you. More than a story. And on the third day, he rose again. Resurrection power. But it didn't stop there. Let's read in the text, if we can, in Ephesians chapter 1, and how this affects us in our everyday life. Ephesians chapter 1, New Living says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that he raised Christ from the dead. Let me back up again. Let me read that one more time, make sure I understand that. I also pray that you, that we understand the incredible greatness of God's power where for us. Notice Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he's not excluding himself from this need of God's power. When you begin to exclude yourself of, I got it down, I don't need you anymore, you begin to find you're the one in the vulnerable place of life. Paul, listen, who has written majority of the New Testament, who had revelation and experienced God's power, says, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us. He didn't say for you, he said for us. He included himself in the need, but he did not include himself in the understanding because he had already gone before them in revelation and was saying, listen, basically, I begin to experience and understand a revelation of God's greatness of his power that's available and operable in my life. And I want you to have that same understanding because we all need God's power. Say, we all need God's power. The moment you say, God, I don't need you anymore, I'm going to handle it from here on, you are in a bad position of life. We all need God's power, not to survive, because most people only run to God when they're in a pit of problems. Not to get you out of the headache, not to make people like you, but God shows you why. I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. Who is it for? For us who believe. How many Christians we have in the house? How many Christians are we out there in the drive-in church? How many Christians do we have online? And those online, let me encourage you, don't sit there passively. You got emoji hands, you got emoji clap, you got a hallelujah button, you can do all that is available. You have to do a little more steps, but you can do it. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same, notice this, this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from, the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. The same. So the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you and I because we believe. So tell me, who is at a disadvantage? You or the devil? Who is at a disadvantage? You or a virus? Who is at a disadvantage? The devil's at the disadvantage. Why? Because if you believe, we have access to a level of power that they couldn't keep Jesus in the tomb. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Notice this, it didn't stop there. Say, it didn't stop there. Say, it didn't stop there. You know, the Bible even tells us that if the devil had known the plan of God, he would never try to crucify the Son of God. You know, he probably thought, I took a beating before. Then he shows up on the earth and I'm taking a beating now. Everybody's getting healed. And the Bible says that for this reason, the Son of Man has come to the earth that he might destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus was creating a headache for the devil. He not only created a headache for the devil probably thought, oh, I got him now. It's done. And then he shows up in hell. Come on, somebody. And creates another. He probably thought, I just need to quit. That this same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead, notice, and it didn't stop there, and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. The Bible tells us that we ought to show forth praise to God who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And something I touched on last week, I want to bring emphasis to today, is that the reality that when God is working and demonstrating his power, don't look for him to bring you to the place you were before. Because where you were before is behind you. Where he's bringing you is to ahead of you on the journey. Don't look or don't pray, don't ask, don't expect for God to bring you to the place of before. Because Jesus did not say, oh God, help me, bring me to a place where I was before they put me in the tomb. No, when he walked out of the tomb, he looked different than when he walked out into the tomb. When they brought him in and he came out, he did not come out looking the way he came in. He came out looking different. Because the way he went in was the result of man. The way he came out was the result of God. The way he came in is what they could do for him. The way he came out is what God could do for him. The way he went in is what mankind had power. But the way he came out was God's power demonstrated. He didn't pray, God, help me go back and look the way I looked before. No, he knew that the path of God was always brighter, Proverbs 4, that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter, and the future part of your path should be brighter than the past part of your path. And so one of the things that's detrimental to our prayer life and the power of our prayer life is to pray below the promise. I'm feeling anointed on this. Is begin to pray below the power of the promise. promise. Because God does not want you to pray and ask him for something that's below his power. He does not want you to ask him for something that's below his promise. He wants you to line yourself up. Line yourself up. That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will. Why? Because you begin to see the seed of the future of God's word revealed to you where you're going. And so you won't ask for God to bring you to the place of where you used to be. If I could only go back. You don't want to go back anymore. Listen to me. You said, yeah, but since that decision, I've had a hard time. I know. Go through the transition. Walk through the process. Go through the transition. What's that transition? It's the resurrection power of God. And the way you come in is not the way you come out. And you'll come out different because now you have experienced the power of God who can change the need, change the desire, change the ability, change everything around you and who you are. I've seen people delivered from the enemy's grasp. And I've seen people delivered and restored. For one of the lepers came back and Jesus said, where's the other nine? But one came back and worshiped him and he said, go your way and be made whole. Nine were healed of leprosy. And could celebrate and thank God, and that would be justifiable the rest of their life. They could spend the rest of their lives giving God praise for healing them from a disease that had separated them, from a disease that had harmed them, from a disease that financially devastated them, from a disease that had left them with scars and missing pieces of their body. But Jesus told one who had come back, be restored, which means he not only was delivered from something, he stepped into something that was much better than before. Because he could not only give God praise for bringing healing to his body, he can give God praise for restoring. Can you only imagine where those who walk and say, look, the disease is gone. I don't see it anymore. And they still have to deal with the missing fingers. But one walked away and said, look, the disease is gone, but I have my fingers back. My hands been restored. My body's been restored. The Bible says, catch a thief and he has to restore sevenfold. I'm saying you might be stuck in a house day in, day out, wondering how to pay bills. Stand back and begin to give God praise because he can give resurrection power to those who believe, who will not only take you where you were, but make you better and bring you higher than you've ever been before. Some of us need to understand the idea of righteous indignation, which means that you get to a place of enough is enough. And you start saying, all right, devil, you're trying to steal from me, but I want you to know I'm keeping track of it and I want a multiple back. You have to restore back. Give praise to God. Show forth the praise of God who's brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light, the psalmist says. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead, Ephesians 1 again, and seated him in the place of honor. King James says that has elevated, raised him up. What did he do? He brought him out of the pit of death, resurrected him, and he could say, all right, go on. You're alive now. But he didn't. He elevated. Say elevated. You could say promoted. You could say raised. You could say, what am I telling you? That when God is working, from Joseph, it is an example in his life. He went from the pit and he would have been happy to get out of jail. But God said, I'm not just going to get you out of jail. Getting you out of jail doesn't show power. Getting you out of jail means you might have a good connection. Getting you out of jail means you might have a good friend. But I'm going to do something that nobody else can do. I'm going to get you out of prison and I'm going to promote you to the palace and you're going to be the second most powerful person in a kingdom that has conquered the known world. What did he do? He did. Listen, God did what only God could do. God did what only God could do. And I'm tired of only hearing stories of praise reports of in Bible times. I want to hear your praise report when you begin to say, let me tell you what God did. He brought me out of this and he promoted me to that. During the transition, I stayed true to his word. I kept peace in my heart. I followed and obeyed the revelation of God's word. And he brought me through a journey and he demonstrated his power. And I've come out of it. And instead of those, there's going to be a lot of people. Listen to me. There's going to be a lot of people when this all said and done and they open the doors, there's going to be a lot of people walking out and they're going to be crying. They're going to be licking their wounds. They're going to be wondering, how am I going to get back? They're going to wonder, how am I ever going to get back to where it was? I guess I'll have to live less. But not you, in the name of Jesus. Not you. You're coming out stronger. You're coming out better. You're coming out with more. You're going to come out with increase. You're going to come out with better health. If the devil knew how God was going to work in your life, he would have never, ever caused a COVID-19 to hit your home or your neighborhood. You're going to come out better. Say, I'm coming out better. From the dead and seated him. That's a place of authority. That's a place of honor. Let me close with this one verse. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Notice verse 10. And you are complete in him. You are complete in him. Not incomplete, you're complete. The devil will try to get you to emphasize your incompleteness. Say, nope, that's not right. The Bible says, I'm complete. Say, I'm complete. Say, I'm complete. That's fullness there. That's overflow there in the original text, which is who is the head of all principality and power. See, Jesus was not only raised from the dead, he paid the price for your sin. The power of God resurrected him so you could have resurrection life and know him. That was the very last thing. The Gospel of John said, and this was written, the purpose, that you might know him and have life. But also, it's a resurrection. Say resurrection. Resurrection. Again, let me read 1 Peter 2:9 again. To show forth the praises of him who has called you. But you, let me back up. The first, King James, verse 9. But you are chosen. Say, I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm a peculiar people. Peculiar doesn't mean weird. It means to stand out above the rest. I'm telling you, I'm not going to scream this. I'm not going to shout it. I'm just going to say it. That when this is all said and done, you will see the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. You will stand out above the rest because fear cries, faith commands. Show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Resurrection power. It's just not a Sunday. It's just not a calendar day. Like Martha thought. Sure, Lord, my brother will be raised again at the last day. But Jesus said, no, I am the resurrection. We can celebrate resurrection life every day, every morning in our life. If you lift your hand, let me speak a blessing over your lives. We'll have prayer partners that will be down here if you need one-on-one prayer. Let me speak a blessing. May the Lord bless you today. May the Lord protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace in Jesus' name. Now, if you don't know the Lord, let me speak to everyone who's watching. Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I invite you into my life. I invite you into my heart. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me a fresh start. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. God bless you, my family. God bless you, my friends. We love you. We love you. Have a wonderful day. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. God bless you.